Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, 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 what's left of his world.
Oh. Well, Zoe has officially been shot down.
The world he left behind.
About driving the Zamboni.
That was fantastic.
She was rude.
No, she was not.
Not rude at all.
Very at all. Nice. She's smart. We were just talking with one of the facilities manager, the facilities manager here at Warrior, and I recognized her a couple of weeks ago when we were here. I said, were you driving the Zamboni a couple of weeks ago? And she said, yeah. And Zoe said, can I drive it? And she said, no. And Zoe, to plead his case, said, I won't crash, I swear. I used to have a vet.
Like, I did wreck that once.
Okay.
Like that was the
okay, so not
the prerequisite
only,
to drive.
I don't understand how owning a Corvette would prevent you from crashing a Zamboni, but you just admitted to crashing the Corvette.
Because it's a very tricky machine to handle.
Okay, so.
And you got to sort of be an expert.
And you did crash it.
You got to be an expert.
I didn't crash it.
Clearly, you're not an expert.
Not on the road. It was in a tree in my front yard.
Even worse.
We were having a party in my house. We were heading to Ray Parkinson's house to do donuts. Thank God I didn't make it out of my yard.
You took him out to show it to him in the driveway, like Dirk Diggler?
Nope.
And came Scotty?
Out, party's over. Party's over, everybody. Everybody
13
go
coats, competition orange. Yep. Full effing race kit.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston joins us now.
What's going on, boys?
What are you
Hi,
still
Phil.
Doing here?
Phil's here a day early because Phil will be departing for Kansas City tomorrow.
That's correct. No, so, I'll be departing tonight.
Oh, you're going to leave it tonight?
Leaving tonight. We'll be there tomorrow. So we'll do all our shows from out there in Kansas City Friday, including the Fix. I will be joining the Fix
on
location by a satellite. Exactly.
Wow.
Yes. So keep the streak alive.
You should bang out of the Fix and have me fill in.
They probably would love to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Not
your
phone's
about
last night.
They wouldn't pay you what your asking price is.
So we'll be doing that. That'll be a lot of fun. And then obviously be out there for the game. So, yeah, getting out early. So glad I could join you guys. These are some nice digs you've got here, the Warrior Ice Arena. It's really, can I just say this? It's not that cold. I've seen you guys here before.
Okay,
this you guys, not today's not bad.
Wait until they come out. Wait until they start skating.
Okay.
And it's the third hour.
See these two industrial things?
You can set your watch by it. After 2 hours here, and they get done with their the team gets done with the morning skate, and everybody leaves, something happens. They change the temperature in here. It gets colder in the last 90 minutes we're here.
Look at Louth.
Are cold.
Okay, I believe you.
Towers up there.
Yep.
They turn
on. No, Jim's layered up.
And it feels like a freezer.
I brought layers. I've got gloves. I thought I might need them. Watching you guys
you
just shiver
guy.
Here.
Don't disagree. Like Anthony Bosa last week, going sleeveless.
It's not that cold.
And then complaining about how your arms are cold.
Plus, you got two space heaters on you right now.
Who's Anthony
Bosa? Is that what that is?
Yes. There's one on either side.
Who's Anthony Bosa?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Joey Bosa?
Who's Anthony Bosa?
He's a brother Anthony.
The long lost Bosa brother.
Is that like Bofa?
He said it so confidently, too. It's just like Anthony Bosa last
Who is
week.
That? Is that?
I think you're just...
There's a brother.
I think you're just combining Anthony Lynn and Joey Bosa, maybe?
Yeah, that was
The brother's name's Nick.
Nick.
Why did I think that? I don't know why I said that.
Nick and Joe. Real complicated names, those two parents. Bumps. Rockets. Two Rockets. Name a kid Nick and Joe.
Beatles just shouting out random names. Is that Dale Marquardt?
I will tell you that Joey Bosa's middle name is Anthony. Joseph Anthony Bosa.
Oh, wow. Good for you. See?
I don't know where that came from. Anyway.
That is next level research, Beetle.
All right.
Good for you. How do you guys feel about this game?
I feel good. I feel confident.
You do.
Feeling less good.
Meh. Not great.
Let's talk it before you
Beetle
came
brought me down today.
I'm not overly confident that they have.
I don't think the Chiefs are what they were 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, so to speak. That December was okay for them.
So the more I look into some of these matchups, honestly, I feel better about how the Patriots match up. And it's
really?
Just sort of that voodoo psychological factor of being on the road.
Yeah.
Is that enough to make the advantages that they have in some of those matchups
neutral.
Go away?
Yeah.
So I just did a post that'll be up on NBCSportsBoston.com in mere moments, just breaking down, digging into some of the matchups across the board. We did this for the Chargers game as well. You know, Brady versus Bob Sutton, Chiefs pass rush versus Patriots offensive line, Julian Edelman against Kendall Fuller. There are a lot of matchups that the Patriots should feel really good about. And when you look at what the Patriots defense did to the Chiefs in the first half of that game, now we all know things went to hell in the second half of week 6 for the Patriots defense. But in the first half, they held them 9 points. They kept them out of the end zone. They're the only team in the NFL this year to keep the Chiefs out of the end zone in the first half. This is the fastest starting offense in the league.
Right? First
They're
quarter?
Plus 97 in the first quarter this year. And the Patriots kept them out of the end zone, and they did it in some interesting ways. They did it in using some deployments, some defenses, some coverages, some pass rushes that I thought started late in the season. But they actually started much earlier. They started against Kansas City. They confused Patrick Mahomes. I think for a lot of those reasons that you'll be able to read on that poster that we'll get into today, you can feel good about this matchup.
I know that you're big on the fact that they've disguised coverages, that there were – look at the pick that he threw when he never saw Dante Hightower.
Sure.
Right? That helps. So you think that they are suited to defend –
That might be a little strong. No one's really suited to stop the Chiefs, right? So Patrick Mahomes is probably the best quarterback against zone coverages in football. People don't want to play man-to-man against this team because you don't want to turn your back on Mahomes as
hard.
A defensive back because he can then go and run on you. And it's also just hard.
It's just hard to do.
They have two of the toughest covers in the league in Tyreek Hill and in Travis Kelce. And so man-to-man, typically not a good idea, but he kills zone coverage as well. So the Patriots play more man-to-man than anyone in football. So what do? Do you just say, we're going to do what we do? We're going to play man?
Yes.
Or are we going to play zone because we think we're better suited?
If you're coaching the team, what do you do?
It's cover zero in it this week.
It's got to be.
It works.
Cover zero worked against the Chiefs in week 6.
It worked against the Packers. It's worked against the Chargers.
It's
worked against all the good teams, the playoff teams that you beat, the 5-0 teams that you're against. Every time you went cover zero, it worked against the
It's aggressiveness, Beetle. Listen, you can either sit back and you can let Patrick Mahomes pick you apart, or you can get aggressive, try to force them into some mistakes the way they did in the first half of that game, and you can try to go out there and beat them, not just sit back and hope that they beat themselves.
So what would you do coverage-wise?
I'm playing man-to-man.
Good.
I broke it down every pass play in the first half against the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes against man-to-man, first half against the Patriots. 6 for 13, 49 yards, 2 picks. Quarterback rating of 16.6.
Well, what happened in the second half?
Second half, they got lit up. Second half, they got lit up. Plain and simple. We know that.
Do you have the full game stats on
we know
against man-to-man?
But.
Did you compile those?
No, we're still working on those. So we're still crunching those numbers.
Okay.
But we know that, right? So they gave up you know, all sorts of deep passes down the field. They couldn't stay with Tyreek Hill. The McCourty's had a hard time staying
in
with him, even in some short area.
In the final minutes when you got to close, they gave up the touchdown on one play.
So, and that's the risk you run by playing man-to-man. You may make more plays. You may pick them off twice, but you're going to give up some big plays as well. So the key is, can they somehow play man as consistently as they did in that first half and just extend it over 60 minutes?
Do you have concerns about the offense going into this game? Generally speaking, this show doesn't.
I would say
That was a concern a week ago.
So
I don't feel the same way about it this week.
Here's the concern. The personnel is not close to what the personnel was for the Chargers. Chargers were loaded defensively. Chiefs are not. They're the opposite. If anything, you look at their secondary, that thing has been a jumbled mess over the course of the last month or so because they don't have any horses to use a ponies and horses reference that the 2-6 show I know likes to use, but they really don't in the secondary.
Well, they don't need that now. They like big boy outside football now. Like, well, muck it up.
But they like to play man to man too. So Bob Sutton's a man to man guy, but they don't have
2-6 show. They want old school football back.
Well, the Patriots play old school football. Yeah. Two back sets. Nobody uses two back sets more than the Patriots outside of the 49ers. The Chiefs are arguably the worst team in the NFL against two back sets. They're giving up over 6 yards a carry. They're giving up almost 8 yards per pass attempt against two back sets. So again, you feel good about that if you're the Patriots. They're going to play man-to-man. You have James White. You have Julian Edelman. A couple guys that beat man-to-man coverage relatively consistently. Those might be the only two guys who can beat man-to-man coverage. But you have those two guys. Those are your two best receivers right now. I think you feel good about that. But pass rush is a problem. Pass rush is a problem for the Patriots.
617-779-0985. Let's get one of your calls in. That is John in Maryland on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Go Terps.
Yeah, got a question for you. Let's say KC says we're going to absolutely mimic the Tennessee defensive game plan. We're going to use our personnel and we're going to mimic the Tennessee game plan. What happens? How does Brady, how does McDaniel handle that? You think that's going to be good result, bad result, or with their personnel, what happens if they do that game plan?
They don't have the personnel to do it. Can't do it. They don't have the backers. They don't have the two DBs. Who's the kid? Jackson that's in Tennessee, the young kid opposite Logan Ryan?
Yeah, Dory Jackson.
Yeah. Dory Jackson, Malcolm, you know, you got a safety that can hit. They got some nice safeties. I don't know what Eric Berry, I don't know what his state is. I know he practiced. They're off the injury list yesterday. He's got the heel.
He's been banged up all year.
He's been banged up, heel, knee, Achilles from last year. There's a lot of things he's dealing with.
Yeah, I don't think they have.
He and Gronk should be able to just deal with each other.
The Titans could do what the Patriots do at times with their cover zero, which is they felt good enough about their coverage on the back end that as long as they could get pressure, they were okay with everybody just going one-on-one across the board.
You better get
I don't know if the Chiefs feel the same way. The way their defense has been effective, especially at home, they create more pressure at home than any other team in football.
Jones.
It's because of the guys up front. It's Justin Houston, but even to a greater extent, it's Dee Ford and it's Chris Jones. And so you rely on those guys. You don't bring extra guys. You rely on those guys to win their matchups up front, put pressure on the quarterback, and it makes those lesser talented players on the back end look even better.
Phil Perry is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand and Warrior. We're talking about the AFC Championship game, Patriots and Chiefs. We'll get to more of your calls coming up next.
This is the home of the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Doesn't change much for us, but it just, you know, shows you kind of what, you know, people would think about what our chances are. That's about it.
No more added
comment to that.
Extra motivation at all?
I mean, if you're not motivated this week, you got a major problem. I mean, this is the week where, you know, you shouldn't have to put any extra in. This is what it's all about. You know, you sign up any chance you get to play an AFC Championship game. So I don't care where, when, time, cold, weather, rain, blood, don't matter.
Listen, 617-779-0985. Phil Perry's with us.
Sure is.
Phil, what's the mood in the locker room this week? How's everybody doing?
Everybody's feeling disrespected. Everybody's mad. I think what you're seeing this week, more on social media than in the locker room or at the podium, is that this is a team that knows how to use any little bit of anything that will help them stoke the flames ever so slightly or any more than they might otherwise to get them going. Even though, like Brady said, you don't need a little bit of extra this week, they're still going to use it. But hashtag bet against us, right?
Hashtag bet against us
and buy the T-shirt. I think that's what you're getting right now. But they have embraced it because they have heard, and they in a lot of places, they know that they sucked at certain junctures and in certain facets of the game over the course of the year. And so they are now bringing that back up and using it to their advantage. I have no problem with it. I think people kind of look at some of this stuff and they say, oh, contrived. I saw Darren Rovell tweeted something today about how it's a bunch of malarkey. The fact that because they're playing up the fact that they're underdogs.
Well, it's the Nationals beat Stellino last night.
Does Darren Rovell tweet about anything other than concessions?
Right.
And he's, I don't know, he works for the Action Network now.
Well,
so
he's
talking about underdogs.
Like, all the Nationals people are relating it to the Charger game. Like, you were favored in it. How are you the under? If you don't cover the team and you're not around the team, you don't understand. It's been a 24/7 analysis of what have they been since week one. The ups and downs. And it's fair criticism. Because they've
totally
been bad.
Totally.
They start 1-2. That's not good.
Call me old school, Phil. I just like when you do all the you picked against us after you win.
Hey, if they advance.
That's all.
If. I'm saying they're going to advance.
But didn't Rodney do it beforehand?
Yeah.
Because nobody believes in us?
And yeah, to say nobody believes in us is one thing. You know, just bet against that. Like, there's a challenge there. Like, there's a call to action there. Like, oh, you'll be sorry. You know, bet against it. Go ahead. Do it. Okay.
It's a good point. You're setting yourself up
right?
A little bit.
Right? Like, oh, so then, losing. So I'm just curious. Where do you go when that, if that doesn't go your way on Sunday and you lose? Then what?
Then you mark
it. Do you get to call Julian Edelman an idiot? Yeah, I bet against you and I want a lot of money. Like, nobody wants to do that. You know?
I get it.
Kansas City should throw it right in his face if they win.
It'd be a fun week if they advance, though, because of the national narrative versus the local narrative.
Patrick Mahomes would take his bet slips out of his pocket when he wins. Like, hey.
I just think that this season, for guys that have been around the team, guys that have been on the team for years, whether it's Edelman or Brady or Devin McCourty or Dante Hightower, there has been more criticism levied against them this season than many seasons previous. And it's been extended because they've deserved it. They've been bad on the road. Mm-hmm. They've been bad against the run, especially out of lighter packages. They haven't been explosive in the passing game. There have been a lot of serious critical questions about this team, and yet here they are in the AFC Championship game, and so now they can try to, again, use this as fuel.
My response would be, what have you done on the road to deserve someone betting with you and betting on you in this game?
It's a great point.
Okay, well, my point on that, Beetle, would be this, is that I felt during that stretch of that, you know, those five road losses, that at some point you got to remove the road element from the conversation and say, wait a second, maybe they're just a flawed football team, and the fact that these losses have all taken place on the road are a bit of a coincidence.
Do you think they're a flawed football team after last week's game?
That's my point.
It brings you back to the road, doesn't it?
It brings you back to, okay, well, they had some issues, whether they were injury or schematically or whatever was going on. They had some losses earlier in the season. They happened to all take place on the road. But if I'm willing to consider, if I was willing to consider earlier in the season, they're not just a bad road team. They're just kind of a bad football team. Well, if they've got those things fixed, if they're healthier, and if they've figured some things out, both offensively and defensively, then I have to eliminate the road aspect of it when they get better, too. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It hurts the argument, though, that all of the losses took place on the road. And even at home, before they had things, quote-unquote, fixed, they looked pretty good against both the Bills and the Jets
If they were home this week, I'd say lock it up, book your tickets. Atlanta, here they come. I would
too. Yeah. Again, I mean, you look at the matchups, and I think you can feel good about where some of these matchups into this week. But the road thing is a thing, and the reason why I take Hardy's argument, and I sort of am trying to boil it down in my brain. I'm thinking about these losses. Okay, first two losses of the year, both on the road, Detroit, Jacksonville. The offense is a mess, right? No Julian Edelman. Yep. Rob Gronkowski's getting doubled off the line. They really can't do anything offensively. So there you go. You can kind of chalk those two up to that, I think. You lose on the road in Tennessee. That one I look at as the road played a big-time factor in that one because you couldn't pass protect. The noise got to you. Being in a road stadium got to you.
The
same thing happened in Pittsburgh. The noise got to them. All those penalties up front on the offensive line, setting them back in critical situations, end of that game. That was being on the road. Those are issues. I would say even Miami, some weird mistakes there. Obviously, the end of the game was one. But Brady, you know, points wiped off the board because he's not thinking straight. Does that happen at home? Does that happen when the crowd noise is on your side and you're not down deep in the red zone where it is loudest and you can think a little bit more clearly? That doesn't happen at home. That happens on the road. So I think that is a real, real factor, and it's why that, you know, juju, whatever intangible word you want to slap on it of being on the road, is a real issue for them.
I just do. I feel better about this team, you know, just from calling games and getting a feel for a team at the end of the year of so what you think they are to what they actually are. Going back to those Denver games, those losses in AFC title games out in Denver, where you're chucking the ball off to Matt Slater because you got nobody else. You got Edelman on one foot. You have no running game. I feel like they got a running game. I feel like they got health at receiver, health at tight end. The backs are healthy. Brady's as healthy as ever. And I think the line play is better than it was then.
Well, and that's the thing. You're better equipped.
You've got David Andrews now as opposed to Stork. No offense, Stork, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're better equipped now to handle some of those road issues, those things that come with being on the road, than you have been all year, really, because of the health.
They're in a better situation
primarily
on the road
because of the running game
now than they were then.
If you can get ahead.
And listen, remember how confident we were then?
If you can get ahead and take that crowd out of it to some extent, you are so much better off. And so I would expect them to do the same thing.
Yeah.
If you win the toss, take the ball, try to score first, and build from there.
They're going to take the ball. They're going to take the ball from here on out in a controlled environment, or if there's no wind on Sunday, they're done deferring.
Paulie's in the truck. Paulie,
that says something.
Hey, you're right. I tell you, Hardy, thank you so much for that last segment when you came in. Not the last one before that. Yeah. I got goosebumps up and down my spine, midnight train to Georgia, and I picked up the phone immediately. I mean, I had goosebumps going through me. Listen,
why do you give
I need this one
credit.
Bad.
We played that because Gladys.
Jimmy, Hardy, all you boys back there.
You don't listen at all. Gladys Knight is going to sing the anthem at the Super Bowl. That's the news on Gladys Knight. No word on the Pips. But Gladys Knight will be there.
Yeah, take the
Pips. How many Pips were there? Can you name
three,
a Pip?
Three.
Can you name
pips.
A Pip?
Three Pips.
You can't call it a Pip. It's Pips is plural.
If Gladys is going to sing the anthem, you got to bring the Pips.
Can I bring
something resembling the Pips? I don't know if they're all still alive.
For all that
so you might have to find some fill-ins.
For all that we goof on the NFL, who's the Maroon
Excellent.
5 is the halftime show. It's like who?
Some other schlep.
Impossible for me to care less.
Who's this
you know,
guy
all this stuff that we goof on them for, inspired choice. Gladys Knight on the anthem. I think it's phenomenal.
Thanks, Joe. Showboy. Who else is doing the show, Maroon 5? Some schlep I never heard of.
Travis Scott.
Who?
Yeah, that guy.
I don't know. Some other people.
Travis Scott.
Randolph Scott.
Big Boy.
Travis Scott and Big Boy.
Big Boy. When was...
Bedard's doing a halftime?
Anyway, Paulie.
Buffett singing the anthem at New Orleans.
Oh, week. God.
Hey, thanks for having me back, man. I'd like to see the Black Crows have their reunion right
of
there.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
A halftime. But anyway, I got a few things to say here. Let me try to be as quick as I can. First, quick on the Bruins. They better not get rid of Rask, I'll tell you that, because they're going to need him going into the playoffs. I would not roll these dice with a lot. The goalies were the difference last night. Okay, they still need firepower up front, all right? And for Specker Carlson, he goes back to the 94. If Backus was standing there next to Donato or somebody, because face smashing on the boards, he would have done something. We wouldn't have had to wait till Chara came over. Backus would have jumped on him right there and then. That's enough. He goes back upstairs, and the other kid, Backus, comes down. Anyway, okay. The Patriots. The Patriots. Yeah. All right, they got to continue to fill it up against the run and keep them one-dimensional, keep this kid in the pocket with four down linemen and a spy. This kid could run up the middle on you. He could, if you try to corral him with four or five, everybody's got their lane. That won't work. You got to just try to corral him with four and have a spy in case he tries to break it up through the middle, break it to the right, break it to the left. Van Noy's your guy. All right, you run man, you cover with Zoe, you put Gilmore on Watkins. He's a big guy. You want a smaller corner, your smallest, quickest corner on Hill with help over the top. And again, bang Kelsey off the line.
Got it. Phil Perry, your reaction.
It's a lot there. It's a lot there from Paulie.
Do you need time? You want to break it down during the break and you can respond on the
Tell you what,
side?
You think about all that. We'll go to the headlines. Phil will break that
Good
down
call.
On the other side.
Sports Hub headlines.
Raptors last night, 117-108. Kyrie Irving back. Led Celtics scores with 27 points. They'll stay home to take on Memphis tomorrow night. Bruins lost to the Flyers 4-3 in Philadelphia. Yaroslav Halak was in net.
I wasn't happy about the goal. And, you know, like I said, I just needed to make one big save in the third, and I wasn't able to. But it was 2-1, whatever. I had to stop that one.
T. team is right back at it tonight. They're home to play St. Louis. We're at Warrior Ice Arena for the morning skate, or there is no morning skate. Team's been given the morning off. We're still here, though. David Backes back in tonight versus his former team. Noel Achari is out. John Moore will be in on defense. Matt Grizzlick sitting out. Tuukka Rask gets the start in net. Judd Zerot, Bob Beers on the call. Face off just after 7 o'clock here on the Sports Hub. And Governor Charlie Baker, it was announced today, is filing legislation to legalize sports betting in Massachusetts. Headlines are brought to you by Honda Power Equipment. Is it time to upgrade your snowblower? Do what Zoe did and make it a Honda snowblower. Head to the pros at Greater Boston Motorsports to get yours. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If it's all right.
Will not be remembered as one of your better halftime shows.
I don't think it will either.
Well, this has a New Orleans sound to it. Is this one of the halftime performers at the Super Bowl, or is this a yin and the yang? Is this
twin?
A performer in New Orleans this weekend? Who is this?
No, this is Big Boy. The other half of Outkast.
Oh,
is that they're the yin yang twins? Same thing.
Are they broken up? Like, why can't they just do Outkast?
No, they've been broken up for a while.
Ah, baby, don't. That's Outkast.
There's no way.
Andre 3000 is the better known member of Outkast.
So Andre and Big will not reunite.
Didn't we do this
under any circumstances?
I know, that's what I mean. Like, who?
Hold on here.
What happened between those
like
two?
They're like Lennon and McCartney.
When we used to work the old place.
They were splits. They were quits.
Who was that that bought the album? You can make the album. We covered this at the old place.
What?
Somebody, you could buy the final album or something. Who was that?
Oh, Wu-Tang.
Oh, so it's Wu-Tang.
Oh.
I got that confused.
Yeah.
It was so, my bad. Yin-Yang. Wu-Tang.
Outkast broke up in 2006. They rejoined for a brief time in 2014, but they're not together anymore.
Sad, man.
So you have Adam Levine.
Bombs Over Baghdad.
You have Maroon 5.
Bombs Over Baghdad.
You have some guy, Jim named, I'd never heard of. And I heard of the Yin-Yang Twins and Big Boy. Yeah.
I don't think you're really out on much of a
like. Lingo, where's Ludacris? Why don't they just make Ludacris the halftime show?
Seriously. Who was it?
Right.
Who was it? That did
was he not available?
Who did the halftime
show?
It's in Atlanta. They should make Designer the halftime show.
I know that there's going to be a free Ludacris concert the week at Super Bowl somewhere.
Panda.
Not free. Are you kidding?
Always.
Oh, yeah. Outside.
Like last year, outside, the NFL
really?
Does a free show every night.
Who knows
that Ludacris is going to be one of
Ludacris
the
is a big deal.
Why do they do this, though? Like, they knock it out of the park with the first act. Like, who was it that Chili Peppers came out and just ruined the whole freaking halftime?
I don't remember.
Somebody. It was Bruno Mars. It was in New York.
Oh, yeah.
It was in New York. You were there for it.
Good memory, so.
Bruno Mars, like, crushed it. And then they brought out Flea and the Chili Peppers, and it just straight downhill.
Maybe the NFL is worried about what Ludacris might do at the 50-yard line.
They don't have Ludacris.
You know what that's mean? Right.
I'm serious. Like Maroon 5. Maroon 5 is a safe bet. Like Katy Perry, you had Katy Perry.
There are people that get that joke, and there are people that have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
We get it. Why do you need a second, third, and fourth act? I don't understand that. You only got 15 minutes. You only have 15 minutes.
That's all Ludacris needs.
I heard half that time.
I don't know, so you'd have to ask them. You know, the halftime show is...
The problem is you're trying to appease everybody.
The halftime show has gone through a number of different changes since the world saw Janet Jackson's nipple. I mean, that's just the truth.
No, I understand that.
Everything changed that day.
Everything changed that day. And then they got really old, white, and boring for a while.
Somebody... Was it you who said
you saw the boob?
He had never seen it until like a month ago. I showed him a picture of it like a month ago.
And it still didn't look like it had like.
Well, it had a little piece of jewelry on.
Well, he was working the game and didn't see it.
We didn't know what we had no clue what was going on. I didn't know until I got home. I remember sitting up there with Bob LaBelle. This was in Houston, and we're sitting on a 50. We talked our way into the club because they had the entire media down underneath to watch the Super Bowl from like a holding room on a TV. It was an awful setup.
That happens in pretty much every Super Bowl.
Bob Lobel and I said, F this. We ended up talking our way into the club. We grabbed two stools and sat right on the 50 in Houston's club to watch it. And I remember seeing this guy walk from the sideline out. It was that streaker, the Golden Palace guy with the dress like the ref. And I remember seeing Matt Chatham just light this guy up. Yeah. I remember seeing Kid Rock. Nobody saw the boob if you're in the stadium. Nobody did. I didn't know it until I got home when everybody was talking about it. It was weird.
All right, so back to Paulie's breakdown of the defense for the Patriots. I think he said four and a spy, and Gilmore's on Watkins.
Oh, my God.
And your smallest, fastest corner goes on Hill. And did I miss anything there, Hardy?
That was pretty good, actually.
I agree with Watkins.
We got about a third of it.
Gilmore, your spy is Van Noy.
So here's the thing with the spy. It's an interesting concept. And if you look at what the Patriots did against the Chiefs in Week 6, they did jam Kelce at the line. That was another thing that Paulie said. They jammed him at every opportunity. It was Van Noy at times. It was Hightower at times. It was Trey Flowers at times. He had Flowers aligned way out wide into the slot just to give Kelce a little bit of a shove off the line of scrimmage to try to slow him down. I think it's a smart thing to do. And I think what you can do when you do that, when you're so focused on their tight end as their money guy that you want to jam them, you can't be involved as part of the initial rush, but you can be that spy or whatever you want to call that sort of that rat player, that kind of roving player who's not maybe necessarily beelining it to the quarterback, but kind of reading the quarterback and seeing where he's going. So Kyle Van Noy did that a handful of times. Hightower did it too. On the pick that Mahomes threw at the end of the first half in that game, Hightower jams Kelce. Yep. Kelce ends up getting doubled. And then Hightower was athletic enough to be able to pursue Mahomes, chase him down from behind, drag him down, and force a bad throw that became a pick. So, Paulie, I think, is right on the money right there. But I don't think you're going to have one set spy. I think it's going to be a variety of different guys. And then as far as the matchups go, I don't know how you guys feel about it. But, like, he didn't mention a name for their smallest, fastest corner. Their smallest, fastest corner, when you look at the roster,
Jones,
is Jonathan Jones, but I don't like that matchup at all.
Yeah,
I look
at
it.
That's going to be a massive help.
You'd have to have a lot of help. What they did do in Week 6 was Jason McCourty with help for the most part on Tyreek Hill. So you could try that again. I think what you do is you take your first team All-Pro, you take your highest paid guy, you say, we're going to put you on Hill. You're going to have help at times because he's faster than everybody, but you're going to have some help. We're going to stick you on him. And then you have J.C. Jackson cover Sammy Watkins. J.C. Jackson has been an absolute boon for this Patriots defense. He has changed. It might be an overstatement to say he's changed everything for them, but when you look at some of the numbers from Week 12 on, so the Patriots had a bye in Week 11, from Week 12 on, terms, you know, NFL next gen stats, tight window throws, just sheer completion percentage, pressure percentage, which is helped by the secondary, obviously, all of those categories, they're first or second in the league. And that coincides with when J.C. Jackson started playing a lot of football. So you could put Jackson on Watkins. I think you could even put Jackson on Hill at times with some help, because the one area where Jackson is really, really good already is with the deep ball. And Tyreek Hill, no one's seen more targets, deep targets. No one has had more deep catches than Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes is obviously a great deep ball throw.
I agree with you on that.
AJ is in Warwick today. AJ.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, AJ?
Hey, let me turn you guys down so you guys don't hate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
let me know when you're ready.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I appreciate that, guys. So, hey, I'm calling in to let you guys know it's going to be a Patriots blowout.
You from Warwick?
Listen to me. I'm from Warwick, Rhode Island. Yeah, born and raised.
How do you think? What kind of town is that?
What'd you say?
Is that a dirty town down there? Like, they nasty people?
Yeah, no, there's some good people out here, man. There's a lot of good Patriots fans out here, too, man.
Well, there's a big one here.
So why do you think they're going to blow them out? I want to know where that comes from.
So listen, guys. I'm not saying it's going to be a 50-20 score at all. I'm saying it's going to be a blowout just like the Chargers was a blowout. So listen, Week 6. Let's bring it back to Week 6. Kareem Hunt had an unbelievable game. Tyreek Hill had an unbelievable game. But other than that, there was a lot of one-offs, right? There was that kick return. There was that fumble that Brady had, right? So there was that Tyreek Hill catch, which was crazy. Kareem Hunt, we're talking about Belichick. He's going to take people out. He's going to single somebody out, and that's going to be it. Kareem Hunt's already gone, right? So Tyreek Hill is going to be gone in that game. Kelce was jammed up at the line, as you guys just said.
How come Tyreek Hill wasn't gone in the last game then? He's Belichick. He was at home,
hey, we had Kareem Hunt, too. We had Kareem Hunt, and we had Tyreek Hill. Yes, there was some one-offs like that.
Well, they didn't get either one of them. They went 0 for 2.
Oh, yeah. I believe you're right, but it will be a little bit easier with just Tyreek Hill. It's going to be easier for us. And, hey, one more thing. This is Patrick Mahomes' first big game in the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl, guys. Listen, to go to the Super Bowl. This is Tom Brady's what game to go to the – guys, this is going to be a blowout, believe it or not.
Okay, AJ, I don't believe that. So
AJ raises a couple of interesting points. Number one, the running back change I do think is significant.
It helps.
Damian Williams has been an effective runner. He is not the down-the-field receiver that Kareem Hunt could be. That guy was really special as far as being able to just run vertically down the field past people and catching passes deep down the field. The one recent target that I've seen Damian Williams get that anywhere resembled that kind of pass was last week. They ran him down the seam. They run these like four verticals, and the running back is one of the verticals. Ran him down the seam. Mahomes threw it to him, and he dropped it. So he's just not that kind of guy. He'll catch it on a screen, but he is not a downfield threat. That's number one.
That eliminates a whole quadrant, though, when you start looking at it and you start layering stuff, because they love to do side to the sideline to get flow going that way. Open up a vertice this way, bring a drag under. That's all misdirection. It's fake, boot. This guy here, drag this, flood this zone. That eliminates a clear out. That's huge. It's huge in this game.
The other thing was if you listen to Rob Ninkovich on the Expats podcast this week.
He hates Kelsey. I love him.
He hates Kelsey. A. Ragdolled him on first and 10 or something a couple years ago, and we'll probably Instagram that on his story again this week. But he says that the cold weather, although we know it's not going to be as cold as we previously thought, the cold weather and the turf being what it is helps the Patriots big time because it may slow them down, right? This is a team built for speed, whether you're looking at their offensive weapons or their pass rush. Justin Houston, D4, those guys are smaller guys that are getting up the field.
His former teammate disagrees with him, Gerard Mayo. On Quick Slants podcast, yes. NBC Sports Boston. You have dueling podcasts.
Mayo had a tough time running on
dueling players.
I remember Mayo
Mayo didn't say it. You could be fast on that field, right? Yeah. You said the field sucks, and it's hard to track players,
hard to stay upright.
I think if you're the Patriots, and I know talking to some current Patriots players about the field specifically, they shrug their shoulders and say it's probably good for us, right?
1-4 on grass.
1-4 on grass. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know about playing surfaces.
What are they on sod?
I think it's a little ridiculous. Here's why I think it helps. It doesn't help them is that they don't play on it often. They play all these home games on turf.
They practice on grass every day, though.
They practice on a better surface than what they will have in the game this weekend.
That's true.
That's fact.
I've heard the practice field's not looking great right now either.
Well, it's that time of year.
It's just a mess. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think they are confident that, it's going to be cold and the field's going to suck. Yeah, we'll take it. that's their feeling right now.
One more segment with Phil Perry next.
You're going to just try to corral them with four and have a spy in case he tries to break it up through the middle, break it to the right, break it to the left. Van Noy is your guy.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how.
Phil Perry is with us. He is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They've got everything you need to make Sunday night's championship game party or gathering a huge success. Get game ready and save at stopandshop.com.
What's cooler than being cool?
Nothing.
Stop and Shop ice. Boom.
So, nothing like Stop and Shop ice, right, bud?
I do. Like ice.
Yeah.
Good ice.
All right, Phil. You're heading out to Kansas City tonight.
Yes, sir.
And
Kansas City, here we come.
What do you think? What are you feeling?
You talking prediction-wise?
Prediction-wise.
Yeah, Phil. You being the beat reporter.
I think they have shown enough issues on the road that it makes it really hard for me to pick them.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win with a caveat that if the Patriots get out to a lead.
Hold on a second.
I can see this going downhill really quickly for the Chiefs.
Hold on, Milton. Yeah. Can you just say caveat?
Caveat.
As opposed to the actual French pronunciation?
Caveat.
Because that throws people off.
Caveat.
There you go.
Better?
That's like me picking the pass and saying less. Brady throws a pick six, and it goes downhill fast. I'll take the Chiefs. I know.
What's the caveat again?
Jesus, Phil.
I know.
That if the Patriots
if they play with the lead, I think they could kind of run away with it.
Last week. I do, too.
But I don't foresee that happening, just based on history. That's all we have. That's all we have is eight games of them on the road and the record that they put together
so
on
Phil's
the road.
Phil's picking the Chiefs, but it could change fast.
Win the toss, take the ball again instead of deferring, and see how that works
out.
It's
not an easy game to pick.
No, it isn't.
It's not.
No.
Really isn't.
I mean, I picked it, did I not? I just gave you gave you caveat.
Yeah.
Caveat?
Yeah.
But it's not the type of pick where you're going to be stunned if the Patriots go there and win.
Caveat.
That's what you said.
Right?
No, of course not.
That wouldn't be a stunning upset.
We just laid out the matchups that I love, right? James White on these linebackers, Anthony Hitchens, Reggie Ragland. If you can somehow get both those guys on the field at one time, get five wide, get four wide with White in the backfield, run everybody down the field, four verticals, let him work the middle of one of those guys. That's going to be a great game plan for you. Let Julian Edelman work on Kendall Fuller. He's allowing 110 quarterback rating out of the slot this year. One of the worst in football when he's inside. He bumps inside when they have three corners on the field. That's a great matchup for you. I think man-to-man, this is, in my opinion, this is the best secondary in football, what the Patriots have. It is the best secondary in football. You're going up against an incredibly talented, versatile group. But they have carried you for much of the season. You've gotten creative with your pressure packages. If you can play with the lead, force them into some throwing situations, as good as they are, you're going to be better off. And so I feel, for all of those reasons, I feel good about the Patriots' chances. But they're on the road. The noise sucks. You're going to have to be on a silent count. You're going to have to figure out how to stop Chris Jones on the interior and their two guys on the edge. And for that reason, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. It's going to be a 27-24 game.
Oh,
Chiefs.
You could leave now.
Why?
No, I'm kidding. Hey, are you excited to see the to absorb everything the Chiefs?
Whoa! Lights down.
Lights are out.
Lights down.
Lights are out.
Are you excited to see like what Chiefs Kingdom's going to be like? The castle and all that cool stuff and the
what is that? I saw you complaining about that on the internet.
I don't understand.
Chiefs Kingdom.
It's a hashtag this year. What's like, the Patriots? Is everything we got right?
Yeah,
everything we got.
Everything he got. You know, not done.
So there's like, a Chiefs Kingdom? Yeah, Chiefs, I don't know about that.
A kingdom.
I don't love that.
They're going to get to Kansas City.
You know what it reminds me of?
All the flatlands.
They're like, look at this kingdom we have.
It falls short. It's like Riley going after. It's like, now this is Dwayne's house, Bosch's pit.
Yeah.
And I forget what it was.
LeBron's king. It's LeBron's kingdom and Wade's house. Bosch's pit,
I don't
baby.
Like that.
Bosch's pit, baby.
Bosch's pit, baby?
Yeah.
Oh.
It'd be like the Cowboys.
Is it?
Not doing dig your spurs in. It'd be like Cowboys doing ram it tough. Go Cowboys. Ram it in.
Say that again.
What are you covering down there tomorrow? Chiefs?
We're going to be there for Chiefs access. So we're going to be bouncing around the locker room, seeing how they feel about this matchup. And again, we're going to be football fixing. We're going to be early edition, I'm sure.
Wow.
And probably even some Boston sports tonighting.
They're
from down in Kansas City.
Beam you through space to get you back to Boston.
Yes, I'm going
to
be in the transfer portal.
Where are you staying down there?
Downtown.
Ooh.
Downtown until Sunday night. Then we'll stay out by the airport because we got an early flight back for Monday Night Patriots.
How far is the airport from downtown?
I think it's about a half hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
25 minutes.
Yeah.
Somewhere along those lines.
Nothing's easy to get to out there.
Looking forward to seeing you out there, Zoe.
We'll be out there.
I feel like I see a lot of you lately.
Yeah. It's good, bud.
I saw you at lunch today.
Lunch?
He did. He bought me lunch. C. Scott's right on Route 1.
Was good?
Fantastic, fantastic sandwiches there.
Great bread, huh?
Oh, bread was fantastic. Money. Yeah. I meant to text you, actually. I forgot.
That's
probably fell asleep right after eating it.
Oh, yeah.
And forgot.
My favorite part of the story is
delicious.
Zoe not knowing it was you when he pulled in.
Yeah, Zoe pulls into the parking lot. I'm pretty sure you honked at me, too.
No, people wave.
And I was like, hey, maybe we'll walk in together and just bolts right inside.
People wave me all the time. I like wave and honk back.
He waved
and honked, and then he goes,
Perry. Oh, what are you getting? I didn't know I was you out there.
Somebody says, hey, Zoe. Hey, thanks for listening. And just walks past.
Let's keep moving.
Oh. All right, Phil. Appreciate you coming in a day early.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Coming in before you leave for KC for the AFC
Enjoy the rest of the week.
Game. We've got headlines, 90 seconds, and we will jump back to your calls. I know you've been waiting. We've got some open lines as well. Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior.
With a caveat.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.